to the R&R Show with Sam and Jacob from First Baptist Church of Sanford. We're here to give you a ready response as we apply God's Word to some of life's questions. In Romans chapter 12, verse 2, Paul writes, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." Welcome to the R&R Show. Today, the topic will center around the will of God, finding the will of God. We want to talk about that. We'll have a specific question for you to call in and discuss in a few moments, 919-775-1050, if you want to have that phone number available. We are going to have a discussion about the will of God, and part of the discussion will be based on a book that came out some years ago entitled, How Then Should We Choose? It was edited by Douglas Huffman, published by Craigle, and several authors, three to be exact, gave different ways of understanding how we should find the will of God. And so we'd like to discuss this today. The three views, which we'll just summarize. We're not going to go into great detail. But the first one, Jacob, is called what?
So the first view is called specific will. It's the idea that God has a very specific will or game plan for your life, and that you need to figure out what that is and go along accordingly. Most people would be more familiar with the Bible study, Experiencing God, came out in 1976 by Henry Blackaby. It's been
around forever.
Since before I was born. So, yeah, 1976. But in that study, he kind of gives some guidelines for how to figure out what God's will for you at different times in your life is. And one of the main points is that God speaks through the Holy Spirit, Scripture, prayer, circumstances, and people in your church, and it will give you impressions on what you're supposed to do, which direction you're supposed to head. So that's the specific will view.
And in all fairness, too, we were talking about this, that Blackaby says that we can find the specific will of God for our lives through different avenues. But he does say, as you noted, what, though, about Scripture?
Yeah, so on page 6 of his book, Henry Blackaby says that Scripture is the number one authority on faith, practice, and finding what God's will is. That does trump experience, feelings, and traditions and things like that. So
I think that's an important point to bring out. The specific will view, the first view, it's not just experiencing God, but that would just be a good example of someone, Henry Blackaby, the Blackaby boys, that would have a specific will view of finding God's will. That's view number one that we're going to discuss. View number two is entitled the wisdom view. And this was a view that was offered by Gary Friesen. He has a doctorate from Dallas Seminary, and I believe he taught for many years at Multnomah University in Portland. And his view is summarized in four principles. Number one, where God commands, we must obey. Number two, where there is no command, God gives us freedom and responsibility to choose. Number three, where there is no command, God gives us wisdom to choose.
Right, right.
And the fourth one is that after we have made the decision, we entrust the outcome to God's sovereign decisions.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's the wisdom view. Now we have the relationship view.
Yeah, so the relationship view that we might talk about a little bit less, it's a little more convoluted. They kind of pull a lot of this stuff from the Catholic mystics, and it doesn't make a lot of sense that we're not going to spend a whole lot of time on it.
It's convoluted. If you just had to summarize a certain portion of it, I think basically it's called the relationship view because although he gives these seven principles, he concludes by saying, in all of this, nothing is so pivotal to our capacity to discern well and then to choose well as the character and quality of our relationship with Christ.
That's probably the best way to sum it up, yeah.
So there's an emphasis on our relationship with Christ in terms of how we should choose. But just a quick summary. The specific will view, they would say, those that hold to this view, is that we should look for God's plan. We should look for his specific individual will for our lives, because God does have a specific will for each individual. The wisdom view would say, no, there is no specific individual will to be discovered. So don't look for God's plan. Don't look for his specific individual will. And then the relationship view, we're still confused about that. Basically, doing what God wants means knowing God. He does have a specific individual will, but just focus on our relationship with Christ.
Yep, just focus on Christ and you do you.
Okay, that might be one way of putting it. So these are just different ways of understanding this idea of finding God's will for our lives. And so that's just some background, some bases that we can talk about more. But we would like to put this question out there for you to call in and to discuss. When, just tell us about a time in your life when you were seeking God's will for something. Something where you wanted to know God's will, you're searching, seeking God's will for your life. How did you go about trying to discover God's will? And then how did it turn out? How did things get resolved? So we'd love to hear from you. You can call in to 919-775-1050. Also, we want to let you know about a new way to connect with us. You can follow us on Twitter at r_rradio. That's at r_rradio. Follow us on Twitter and you can direct message us a question, a comment. But Jacob, wouldn't you say this is something that we, as pastors and being involved in church life, we hear quite a bit. People want to know, what is God's will for X? What is God's will for Y?
Yeah, all the time. Unfortunately, sometimes they come to us wanting us to answer that for them. So kind of like what we're talking about today, we try to give some principles, some guidelines so that you can do that. Probably the way that I hear it the most is, you know, Jacob, I'm fixing to graduate school. What college does God want me to go to, or does God want me to go to college? Or that's just one of the more common, you know, questions that I get.
Right, and these are important questions, and certainly we don't want to treat these lightly. It's good that we would be concerned with how we should make decisions and how we can honor God with our lives. But when we think about this, we'd like to have you call us and tell us about a specific example, something in your life where maybe it wasn't a college decision. It may have been. It may have been something to do with a relationship, a job decision, but you're, whatever it might have been, you're seeking God's will for something. How did you go about trying to discover his will? Now, these views that we gave, the specific will view, the wisdom view, the relationship view, those are just examples of different categories of how we might go about trying to discover God's will. But maybe this is the first time you've even heard of those different views, but you had a situation where you went about trying to discover God's will, and we want to hear about that. We'd love for you to call in and share, or if you have questions about this topic, please call in 919-775-1050. Don't forget, you can now follow us on Twitter at r_rradio. Jacob, thinking about your life, can you give an example where you were trying to discover God's will for something, or where you are looking back and you see how God led you to discover his will? Can you think of anything along those lines?
Yeah. You know, one example that kind of pops up to me is I was still serving at my first church, and I felt like it was time for me to leave and move on to a new ministry. And so I kept praying to God for wisdom about it, you know, show me what I'm supposed to do. But honestly, I didn't have a really great attitude about it. And so I went and talked with a senior pastor that I respected, and he kind of gave me some guidance. And he said, you know, maybe the reason that you haven't gotten a word from the Lord is because your attitude's terrible. You know, so I go home and I pray and said, Lord, you know, I'm very sorry that I've had a terrible attitude about this. If it's your will for me to stay here in Sansom County for 10 more years, that's just what I'll do. And, you know, I just prayed that God would show me what he wanted. And so, lo and behold, the next day I got a phone call from some people in Sanford. So,
well, I think that's a good example of trying to discover God's will. I don't know where we would categorize how you went about that. Would we say that's a specific will kind of approach, a wisdom view?
I think that was a specific will kind of approach because I felt like God definitely had a specific plan somewhere he wanted me to be. And so I sought counsel from scripture and other believers to try to figure out what that specific will was.
Well, I would say when, you know, we've talked about these different views, we've laid these out here just in summary form. I mean, there's a book, as I mentioned, How Then Should We Choose? Three Views on God's Will and Decision Making. Huffman is the editor. And so if you're interested in seeing how these different authors got into more details of their views and interacted with these different views, and they give specific examples, they use illustrations, you might want to check that out. But in terms of the different views that are laid out, just in summary form here, the way we've done it, I am so strongly attracted to the wisdom view.
I'm big on the wisdom view. All right.
And yet, I see strengths of the other views. For example, I've told you this story. I told it in a shortened version one Sunday morning at our church. But back in December of 1994, when I was living in Birmingham, Alabama, there was a friend of mine there. We weren't super close friends. Mike, he lived in Florida. I lived in Florida, but we're going to law school in Birmingham, Alabama. And it was about to be winter break. And so I'm driving towards campus. All of a sudden, I see Mike's car, his Mustang, pull in front of me. And I felt just right then and there, at this particular time, that I needed to go talk with Mike. I knew Mike wasn't a Christian, and I looked at him as a real prospect, open to the gospel, at least to listen to it. And so I was trying to approach him in that way. So I went up to Mike, we parked our cars, and I asked him if he wanted to follow each other home for that Christmas break, for that time away from law school back to Florida. We would switch off at the turnpike. He said, oh, you know, my dad actually bought me a plane ticket to fly me home and back to law school this time around, so I'm not driving back, but I have a friend and she's looking for someone to caravan with, and her name is so-and-so. And it turns out I got in touch with this young lady, and we've now been married for over 24 years. And I look back on that and I see how God gave me an impression leading, however we would describe it, to go up to Mike, and things just went from there. And now I found my wife, and God brought us together. I'm looking back on that, and I can't deny that God was leading, that the Holy Spirit was leading. But I think there's a difference in looking back on a situation like that rather than looking forward and saying, I know God told me to go up to Mike.
Yeah.
That's almost presumptuous.
We have to be careful. One of the dangers with this specific will view is that, you know, we can talk ourselves into anything. And so it's very easy for us to think that something is God's specific will for us, whether we prayed about it or sought, you know, godly counsel. We have to be careful with that viewpoint because we can let it lead us in bad directions or excuse things that it shouldn't excuse.
James 1:5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God. And he gives liberally. He upbraideth not, I think it says in the King James Version. And so when I think of verses like James 1:5 and the wisdom view, where God commands, we must obey, number one, where there is no command, God gives us freedom and responsibility to choose. Number three, where there is no command, God gives us wisdom to choose. And then the fourth is, once we've done that, we just trust in God's sovereignty to work out the details. There's something that just seems so right and biblical about that view, yet I can talk about the experience of meeting my wife. We can talk about these other experiences where we look back and we see how God has led. So you can't say that there's nothing to the specific will view. At least I couldn't say that.
But I don't think that we're really called. I don't think that's the normal MO, though. You like the wisdom view. I think the wisdom view is our more day to day. That's how God is leading us. And maybe on occasion, these instances, these specific will things will crop up. What do you think?
I agree. I think that a couple of concerns I have with the specific will view, even though I think there's a lot of merit with it. Number one, I think that it could lead to a very anxious life. God, if we are so concerned about finding that specific will, as the specific will proponents argue, that there is a specific will God has for us, and we need to do everything we can to go out and find it using these seven criteria, I would live like a nervous wreck. In fact, I can look back in my life where I had more of a specific will approach to life rather than a wisdom view approach, and I think there was serious anxiety there. Did I miss God's will?
Well, and on the flip side, what about this? What if I have convinced myself that something is God's specific will for my life, and I'm convinced, I know that that's it, and then it doesn't happen, it doesn't pan out? What does that even mean?
More than just anxiety, maybe depression. Another concern about the specific will, it seems like we're beating up on this view, but I even though I do think there's a lot of merit to it, there one of the ways that the specific will proponents, the Blackabees in particular, say that God guides us is through circumstances, okay? I have a friend who had a way of following his understanding of God's leading this way. He would open up his Bible, for instance, and he would come to a scripture like Isaiah chapter 30, verse 21, which reads, is that the one that I want to use? Well, okay. And your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. He would take verses like that. He would look at other scriptures from the Old Testament that would promise that the light is dawning, the new day is coming. Isaiah 58:8, then shall your light break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up speedily. Your righteousness shall go before you. And he would open up his Bible, come to a verse like that, and then take that to mean that he should move across the country to pursue a job at a place that hasn't offered him a job because God is going to bring forth the light this new day. He had an impression that that was the leading of the Spirit. Do you see some problems that could result from that?
I have to ask, did he find a job across the country?
Well, he told me this after the fact, that this following certain impressions, these subjective impressions, led to a lot of futility and heartache and problems. And so I think that's another concern or another check that we need to bring to bear when we talk about the way that God guides us and leads us. When we get beyond the Bible and we start bringing in circumstances such as subjective impressions, that can lead to a lot of difficulties. So what can we do, Jacob? What can we do to acknowledge that the scripture does talk about God leading us? Romans 8:14, the Spirit leads. What are some ways we can make sure that we're not getting off the rails? Well, maybe someone would like to share their thoughts on this. We have a caller. Welcome to the R&R show.
Well,
Jacob?
Apparently they felt led by God to hang up. So
apparently so. What do you think, Jacob? What are some ways that we can safeguard ourselves to not making more out of impressions or circumstances than we should?
I think one of the real keys in both this specific will impression mode as well as the wisdom mode is we need to be spending time in God's word and in his presence. If we're not doing those, then either one of these plans is going to fall apart and not work for us. But if we're spending time in God's word, we're spending time in prayer, then, you know, like this specific will, we may start getting impressions, we may start to see those things, but also with the wisdom view, and we're going to know what God desires and what his morals and statutes are, and in both of those, you're just going to be a lot better off if you're spending adequate time in God. Oh, we got a caller again?
Welcome to the R&R Show.
Is this the First Baptist?
Yes, this is Sam and Jacob from First Baptist.
How can you guys probably know who I am. I've been listening to you talking about the will of God.
Yes.
One thing that I was thinking about, the dangers of youth. When I was young, I was so self-absorbed in family, career. God's will was kind of incidental or secondary to me. I didn't really give his will a lot of thought.
Okay.
And I didn't realize all the opportunities I was missing to maximize what my life could have been. Of course, the good thing is that God doesn't give up on us. He keeps giving us opportunities to get in line with his will. But it's kind of sad that maybe not necessarily for all young people, but a lot of young people, it's a natural state that you just you do get self-absorbed with life, and God gets kind of sidetracked.
We totally hear what you're saying. I'm pretty sure I know who you are. What are some ways that, you know, how do you feel like God leads you now that you're a little bit older and a little bit more mature in your way, you're in your faith? What type of ways do you see God leading you in your life?
Well, basically, I'm advanced in age now, and I can look back now and see all of the pitfalls that God helped me to avoid. I can see his handprints all over the, you know, taking care of me in spite of all the mistakes I made in life. And I can see now much better what I could not see then. And I'd be a fool not to believe in the hands of God and the will of God now. When you're young, I guess it's another story, but...
Let me ask you this. I know you're an analytical thinker. Did you listen to us describe the different views? There's the specific will view, which says God has a specific will for your life, and we need to go out and find it. And then the wisdom view that says, if God's word commands, we must obey. But where there's no command, he gives us freedom and responsibility to choose. That's the wisdom view. Which one do you have more affinity with?
Well... Say that again now. Repeat that again.
Do you think God has a specific will, plan A only, and that we need to go out and find that specific will for our individual lives? Or do you believe that if God's word commands in an area, then we must obey it? But if it doesn't command in an area, God gives us, he gives us the freedom to choose. He gives us the wisdom to choose. And so we don't need to be concerned about finding that specific will. We just need to use the wisdom that God has given us to go out and make decisions. Which one do you think has is the stronger case?
My opinions don't really add up to a pile of beans, but I think when God created every one of us, he had a perfect plan from the start that never was going to come to pass because of my selfishness and my neglect. But I think, somebody can live maybe... 35, 40 years, screw up the first part of their life, and God can switch to... Well, he always knows. He always knew what we were going to do from day one. He knew my successes, my failures. But God will give me a plan B if I blew plan A.
Okay.
He never gives up on us, in my opinion.
All right.
And if you get to be... If you've blown it spiritually, and you get to be 60, 70 years old, God still has plans for you, At least that's my belief.
Well, the Bible says that God is always there, that his grace is always available. And so that's the glory of the gospel, that he doesn't give up on us. And he does have plans for us. Even when we feel like we've really blown it, he still wants to use us, and he still wants to... bless our lives. And so thank you for the call.
Thank you for calling.
Yes.
Yeah.
So Jacob, I think that was probably falls within the wisdom view.
I think so, because he talked about how as he's gotten older and grown closer to the Lord, he's able to see some of these pitfalls he couldn't see before. So I think he's probably kind of in the wisdom view myself.
And I again, I think the Wisdom View has a lot going for it. One of the concerns I have about the Wisdom View, though, that I think we need to touch on, is that if you just follow those four precepts, okay, without praying, without having this vibrant relationship, pursuing this relationship with Christ on a daily basis, that this charge that's been leveled at this view of deism, it has a view that basically sees God as this watchmaker who wound up the watch, wound up the world, and backed away. I think that's a legitimate critique. But if you use these steps and are doing it in a prayerful manner, where you're going to God and you're seeking His face on a daily basis, and you're not just relying on your own rational capabilities, I think there's a lot going for it.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think the key is like we've said, be in the Word and spending time with God.
Well, one of the things that I did, Jacob, after going through the material for today's show, I would recommend that each of us do this. Go back and listen to a sermon. I like to turn to John MacArthur. I went to the gty.org website and listened to a message. It's a two-message series. I've listened to most of the first one on the sufficiency of Scripture, because that is something I think that as Christians and as the church as a whole, not just, you know, a particular church, but the evangelical church, we're missing out on this great truth that the reformers recaptured, and maybe captured in a sense, of sola scriptura, that our authority is not man, our authority is the Word of God. And if we lose sight of that, and lose sight of the sufficiency of Scripture for all that we need in terms of salvation and a life of godliness, we can face a lot of problems.
Yeah, and you know, so often we have people who are trying to figure out God's will, and they're wanting some grand sign, some kind of miraculous, you know, Lord, if you want me to go to this college, let lightning strike this tree on the left side of my driveway. When really, if they would just spend a little bit more time at God's Word, they would probably know a lot of times what it was that God wanted them to do. His will is never going to contradict His Word. We're just really encouraging you that whichever of these views you pick or feel more drawn to, you've got to make sure that it's lining up with God's Word.
Absolutely. You talked about the lightning strike of the tree for a sign. Some would call this an alphabet soup approach to life, where they look and they try to read the letters in their alphabet soup to find God's direction and will for their lives. Not recommended.
No, not going to recommend that.
So we do have a new way for you to connect with us. I just want to give you our Twitter handle one more time slowly, @r_rradio. @r_rradio. You can follow us on Twitter, and that way you can direct message us each week. We would love to be able to connect with you that way, and we look forward to connecting with you next Tuesday at 2:00. Until then, God's blessings. We want to thank you for listening to the R&R Show today. And look, if you don't have a church home currently, we'd like to invite you to visit us at the First Baptist Church of Sanford.
Yep, we're located at 202 Summit Drive here in Sanford, and we're currently having an outdoor service at 8:30. So bring your lawn chair and meet up with us in the morning.
We look forward to seeing you then.